Welcome to the Wealthy, Wealthy, Wise podcast, where you will get to listen in on the thought-provoking conversations with countercultural business, financial, and money thought leaders, sharing their wisdom and insights with your host, Christina Wise. Christina Wise is a highly successful serial entrepreneur, real estate investor, best-selling author, millionaire business and money coach, and the founder of the Wealthy, Wealthy brand. Christina has mastered the money game, and now her mission is to help everyone willing to do the work win the money game too. If you are looking to upgrade your financial life, stop worrying about money, and start living the fulfilling life you deserve, strap in, take a deep breath, and get ready to learn. This podcast will change the way you think about business, money, and wealth. Let's get into it.
Welcome back. This is Christina Wise, your host. In this episode, I interview Kelly Notaris. Kelly is the best-selling author of The Book You Were Born to Write, Everything You Need to Finally Get Your Wisdom Onto the Page and Into the World. She is the founder of KN Literary Arts. And what that is, it's a company that helps you write, edit, and publish a book, including marketing services, editing services, even ghostwriting, the full spectrum. So if you want to write a book, thinking of writing a book, need inspiration to write a book, have a story that you want to get out and put out into the world, then please listen to this interview. She spells it all out tip by tip, step by step, so that everyone that wants to tell their story can finally get it on paper. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Kelly Notaris. Kelly, it is so much fun to have you here today. And yeah, I'm really looking forward. Here. Yeah, thank you. I'm looking forward to this conversation. So this is a little out of scope of many of my guests that where we're talking about financial wellness or physical wellness on the wealthy, wealthy side. But really what I wanted to talk to you about to make it really relevant to my entrepreneurial audience is the idea of writing and writing books. And you are a book expert and an editor of some pretty amazing books. And I guess you really coach people on writing books and its importance. And so to so many entrepreneurs or coaches or people out there that are really looking to make big impact and maybe build audiences or help people, how important is a book?
Right. Well, I will say that it really depends on what your goals are and your outcomes, but I think that a book can help in most entrepreneurs' world in terms of getting the word out about what it is that you do beyond the people that already know you. So a book has this way that it can go out into the world beyond you. Somebody reads it, they love it, they talk to their friends about it, they hand a copy, they buy it for a friend. I mean, you probably have bought books for friends before, you know, if you feel like, oh, wow, this is wisdom that other people need as well. And it's got so much in it that you feel like, oh, I'm giving them a real thing if I hand them versus, you know, maybe you'll forward a blog, but giving someone a book is like, I know that this actually can impact your life and transform your life for you. So that's the goal of writing a book, is to get that word of mouth going. That is the way that most books are sold. And it also is a great way to get people to come back and find your company that's sitting behind the book. So I'll give you an example of my own book, The Book You Were Born to Write. I published it in November. And since that time, my company has tripled the number of calls we've gotten from potential clients. So the book is doing great. I'm really happy about the book, but I'm not looking to make money off of the book sales. And I would suggest that most of your entrepreneurial listeners not be looking at the idea of making money from book sales. Although great, if that happens for you, it's icing on the cake. But the goal being to spread the word and really have your expertise and credibility go out further than you are, so people will find the business that you have behind it.
Well, I love that. And I'd like to dig deeper into that in just a second. And as everybody listening, please introduce yourself. What is your background? I mean, you started, it sounds like, as an editor. You've edited some really successful books. When I wrote my book, writing the book was one thing, but my God, how great the editor is makes all the difference in the world. And it was, and even the experience of my writing and doing all that, just all the red lines and everything changed. You're like, oh my goodness. But
yes,
a great editor really is the magic behind a great book, and from my own experience. So please share with everybody listening, who are you? What's your background and what's really brought you to the place where this is your expertise today?
Absolutely. So I was a liberal arts college student graduating with no idea what I wanted to do. I had a pre-law degree, but I had pretty much figured out I didn't want to be a lawyer. And so I went to a communications professor of mine who I loved, and I asked him, what do you think I should do? And he said, you should write books. You're a really good writer, and that is just the natural next step for you. And I said, well, how does one decide what to write about? You know, I was 23 years old and I didn't have a, you know, I wasn't a journalism major. I just didn't have any ideas. And he said, oh no, I don't mean right now. He said, go out, get a job. And in a few years, you'll know what to write about. So that's exactly what I did. But I also decided that I was going to try to get a job in the book publishing business, because if I was just going to, quote, get a job for a few years, I might as well get a job that would put me on track to know how to get my book published when the time came, because I knew that it wasn't something that everybody just was able to do super easily. And back then, which is 20 years ago, there was not such easy and cost-effective access to self-publishing as there is today. So really the way you got published was to get published by a traditional publisher, and I knew the competition was going to be fierce. So I decided to move to New York City and get a job at a book publisher, and that's what I did. So at 23, I got a job at Avon Books. We were bought by HarperCollins a couple years later. I moved over to Penguin after that, then Hyperion Books. And then by that point I was, you know, ending at the end of my 20s, I was ready to move out of New York, and I found a job at a publishing company that did more of what I love, which is personal growth, wellness, spirituality, self-help, that kind of book. So I moved to Boulder, Colorado, and started as the vice president in charge of the creative division at Sounds True, which is a specialty publisher in that area. And that was just a wonderful, wonderful place to be. And spent 4 years there before got their book division up and running. Honestly, they'd been doing audio for many years and they needed help. And I'm very proud to say that now, all these years later, they are publishing 50 books a year and doing amazingly well. And the woman I hired as my assistant is now running the whole creative division. And that makes me really happy. So it's been a really wonderful, that was a wonderful place to be associated with. 4 years later, though, I was ready to be out on my own. I think I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. I love launching things. I don't love actually managing them. And so I made the decision to get out and go freelance. And of course, a couple of years later, I got the opportunity to speak at a huge conference where I ended up with more potential clients than I could possibly have handled on my own as a freelance editor and writer. And so I decided to start a little company. And this year we'll do about, we're hoping for $1 million in business this year. The company's KN Literary Arts, and we're an editorial studio where we help people write and edit their books.
Well, that's so awesome. So thank you for sharing that amazing story and congratulations. What a great journey.
Thank you.
I'm noticing these days that there are so many book writing companies. Almost everyone's writing a book, but they're not even writing their books. Other people are writing their books for them. And I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but it seems like it is easier and easier these days to write a book because there are so many writing companies. What do you say about all that? What is this as far as, is the market going to be saturated? I mean, it's so easy to write a book today because you're not really writing it, that everybody's going to have a book? Or is it okay if everybody has a book?
Yeah.
Because when I sat down and wrote my book, Nobody wrote my book for me. And I'm about ready to go hibernate again and write my second one, not even being a writer. But I'm just wondering, what is happening these days in your marketplace?
Right. Well, I will say that it is nothing new that there are ghostwriters writing books all over the place. I usually estimate that between 30 and 40% of the books you see on the shelf were not written by the person whose name is on the cover. And that's because so many of us have superpowers in terms of what we've learned over the course of our careers and our lives. And we have stories and wisdom to share, maybe a methodology that, you know, you walk your clients through, et cetera, but writing is not your superpower. So it makes perfect sense in that case to outsource that piece of it. Your ideas, your voice, your words all make it onto the page if you're working with a professional ghostwriter, which most people, I would say, do, because if you're not, you're going to end up with, you know, something that you wouldn't be proud to put your name on. I do have a question mark around some of the companies that are cropping up these days where they say, you only need to give me 12 hours of your time or, you know, 10 hours of your time. And they record interviews and then they create a book out of it. And the question mark I have, it's not whether that sounds like a great idea. It does. And if it worked to create a book that my clients would be proud of and I would be proud of, then I would probably be doing that and offering that at our company. I am somebody who comes out of the traditional publishing business. I am somebody who reads books that are at a very high quality. If a book is not really high quality, I'm not going to read it. And I have yet to find a book that's been published in that manner that felt like it was written by someone who sat down with superpower writing and wrote an excellent book. It's more about speed in my experience than it is about quality or content. Now, in some cases, that's fine. I always say that you know, and you asked, is it okay for everyone to have their book? Books these days have become, and can be, and this is totally valid, sort of a glorified business card. You have this book, you're selling it in the back of the room at your, you know, talks, you're selling it to people just to get them to remember your name and remember who you are. But the problem with that is that what I said at the beginning about word of mouth, that rarely generates word of mouth. It's more just to get that one single person who purchased the book or who you gave it to remember you. Because unless they love reading it and really get a lot out of it, they're not going to pass it along to their friends. And as I said, I've yet to see one that was created in that sort of short time frame that is what I would call excellent. And excellence is actually the bar you need to hit today to get people to read your whole book. I actually just did a video on this a couple weeks ago, which is I talked about whether done is good enough. Because when it comes to blogs, these days people talk about done is good enough. And I think it's true with blogs. I do not think it's true with books because people have too much that is vying for their attention at any given time. And a book is a huge commitment. It needs to feel effortless to read. It needs to be beautifully written. It needs to be extremely relevant. Every single thing in that book, every word needs to count. And I just, again, haven't seen it yet. If any of your listeners have a book that you love that was written in one of those, you know, 12-hour sort of ways, please, by all means, you can send it to me. The address is on our website, knliterary.com. I would love to be wrong.
I love that. And thank you for saying that, because that's my feeling as well. And I love what you just said about just the idea of excellence. And I think that is what's the distinguishing factor here is anything we put out in the world, in a way, don't we want it to be excellent versus just like you said, this glorified business card or say, snap, I'm an author and now I get to put that on my bio. That's different than writing a book that you care about, that you want to be passed along, that really is like my book is an extension of me.
Yes.
Now I want this next book to be this next extension to this next phase of life and to share part of that story and the wisdom and really hope the reader gets a lot of value out of it.
Yes.
You know, and they do want to pass it along. So it's a different, I guess that's the important thing, that there's not a right way or wrong way. It's really what is the intention behind it? Glorified
exactly.
business card or no, this is my work and there's an excellent stamp attached to it. And
right.
that's what I want to pass on. And then so to go back to write an excellent book, which is what you do and help people
yes.
do, what are the different factors? Like what's required to do that? And what are some of the things people would need to know that isn't obvious. I know when I wrote my first one, there was like, oh my gosh, if I'd have known all this went into it, I'm not sure I would have done it. Right. Like nobody told me there wasn't, you know, check the box. This is everything that you're going to have to do. Writing it was the easy part. The editing and everything after like was the hard part. And I'm not a writer and writing wasn't easy. But would you share like anybody listening, if they're really considering writing a book or just writing in general and maybe have that as a skill set, what would you say to that?
Yes. So, you know, you asked earlier again, is it okay for everyone to have a book? And my answer is yes, it's absolutely okay. But it is true that the marketplace is saturated. That doesn't necessarily mean that your book won't serve you, right? But if you want your book to rise above the crowd of the other books that are on the shelf, if you want people to pick your book over the brand name authors whose names they already know who are writing books on a similar topic, this is the most important thing I can tell you, is to write your book with a focus on a problem that you know lots of people have and they already know they have. That is the key. So too often my clients come to me and they say, well, I want to write a book about, you know, like living in the light. I get a lot of, you know, sort of books about the light. I want to write a book about living in the light and I want to call it Living in the Light. And I say, well, what is the problem that this solves? Oh, well, it solves all problems. If you live in the light, then all problems are solved. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know that. And your reader doesn't know that. You need to pick a problem your reader knows they have. Like, I don't know that not living in the light is a problem for me. I need people to actually focus on the experience of the person who you're expecting to buy your book. That's probably the key that I see people don't do. They don't step into the shoes of the person who's going to be buying it. Now, if you are, again, glorified business card area, that's fine. The thing that's going to get them to theoretically buy your book or pick it up is that they already know your name. And I say everyone is already a celebrity to someone. It might just be your friends and family. It might be your clientele. It might be the people in the organizations that you work for and with. But if you want to reach people who don't yet know you, you have to speak to the problem they have that's going to have them pull that book off the shelf. Obviously, I'm not talking fiction here. I'm just talking about nonfiction, you know, books that are helping to transform and change people's lives for the better. So that's the number one thing, is choosing a hook. It's the hook is basically your elevator pitch, or when someone asks you, oh, what are you writing your book about? And you say, oh, I'm writing a book about blank. That blank should be your hook. And it should be something that very clearly telegraphs, there's a problem that I know you have, and this book will solve it for you. So that's, I always give my example of my book. People ask me, I said, I'm writing a book. Oh, what are you writing a book on? I'm writing a book on how to write a book of transformational nonfiction. I knew so many people out there who were my friends, colleagues, you know, family members, et cetera, wanted to write a book like this, but they didn't even know what step one, step two, step three was. So I decided to write that book. And when I talked about it, I talked about the problem they have. You know, you want to write this book and you don't know how, I'm going to teach you how to do it. So it's very simple. Get really, really, really simple, more simple than you want to be. And also more simple than your book is going to be. Every book is complex. It's a long work. It's going to have complexity in it. But when you pitch it, it needs to be simple, and you want it to really land between the eyes or in the center of the heart of the reader who you are aiming it toward.
So if we choose a problem, for example, but it's a big category. So let's say a lot of my listeners are in the health industry. So maybe it's nutrition, or it is biohacking, or that type of thing. Or in my case, the big topic is money, is financial wellness. So it's too big of a problem. What would you say to that? Like, how do you... So I can help everybody solve their money problem, but there are a lot of even different types of money problems, if you will.
Yes.
So what would be your advice to that, so that it becomes even more, maybe not niche, but even more focused or directed to a specific category within a bigger category?
Yes. So I know your first book was about sort of romancing your money, right? Which is great. And that's a wonderful introduction to you and what it is that you offer. If I were your book coach, I would suggest that you tailor your next book toward a specific audience. So an example might be toward women who are getting divorced. That's a place where money comes up a lot, and women are readers, especially women of a certain age. And so you're getting a lot of things all in one if you direct it in that direction. Or if you wanted to buy a book, say that, of course, I'm, you know, from the book publishing business, so we live and die by the book holidays, which is the holidays where people actually purchase books, number one being Christmas, number two being Father's Day, and number three being graduation. Okay, so I pick graduation. Why not have something, you know, write a book about how to stay out of debt in your 20s? I mean, that today there's almost no, I don't even know if it's possible given all the problems that the millennials are having poured upon them. But basically, that would be a book that has an audience. The audience is mothers, grandmothers, aunties who buy that for their niece, nephew, daughter, granddaughter who's graduating from high school or college. So that's the way that I look at things. People find it, I think, a little bit like disheartening that I'm looking really at the market. But as someone who's worked in the publishing business, I know how difficult it is to sell books. So I want to set you up so you are ready to go with every possible, you know, thing in your corner that will actually force you toward the audience rather than pulling you away from them. And that's what I talk to people about all the time, is how to get your book set up for good marketing and sales before you even write it.
Yeah, and that's perfect. I wish I would have had that type of coaching. Anyway, I just sat down and wrote my book. Like, holy cow, I have a book. Okay, now what? But
yes,
I went a little
exactly
out of order. So something that you mentioned is the idea of the birth of a thought leader.
Yes.
And using a book to as a means to become that or to grow into that. So one, my question is what is your distinction for a thought leader? And then two, what do you mean birth of one?
Right. Yes, absolutely. So the distinction I have of thought leader is anyone who has ideas, methodology, or story that they feel life is asking them to share publicly because for the good of those who are going to hear it. And so people come at it from many different angles, and I don't feel, I don't necessarily feel like I need to tell you whether you are a thought leader or not. If you want to be a thought leader, you kind of know it, is my experience, right? So the reason I came up with this map, which I'll tell you is a four-part map of the birth of the thought leader, is because so many people came to me thinking that they were going to write a book and the book was going to launch them as a thought leader. And that is absolutely not the way it goes. It's the other way around. As a thought leader, you can launch a book. So how do you make use of a book at each of these different stages? So stage one is what I call you're writing your book for your heart or your art. And all of the stages need to be rooted in that desire. There's no way you'll finish writing a book if your heart or your art is not at its core. You know that, right? You sat down and wrote a whole book. You have to feel the passion. You have to feel the drive. You've got to feel it coming from an emotional, deep place. But some people come to me and they say, well, I want to write this book, but I don't want to market it. I mean, I don't want to be public. I want to write it under a pseudonym. And I say, great, you're writing this book for your heart or your art. You're not actually writing it to build your business. Because if you, these days, there's no reason to write a book and have a pseudonym on the cover, you're not going to be able to sell copies. People want to know you. They are fans. They are not readers anymore. So you need to think about them as fans. If you don't want fans, great. You're writing it for your heart or your art. You're going to self-publish it. You'll give out a few copies. It's wonderful news that there's something called print-on-demand publishing these days, which means you don't have to buy 2,500 copies of your book and keep them in your garage. You can just have it up on Amazon. People order a copy, it gets printed for them. So it's actually a beautiful option that didn't used to exist. Great. Then the leap to stage 2, 3, and 4 is where you are wanting to really get the word out. You are ready to step forward as a thought leader. You're ready to at least take your first step. Maybe you're further down the pipeline and you're ready for a bigger audience than what you've had, but I see it all the way through. So stage 2 is people who have no audience, but they know they want to be a thought leader and they're at the beginning. And I always say people think that they're behind. They're not behind. They're just at the beginning. And that is the perfect place to be. It's right where you ought to be when you're in this place of deciding you want to step forward. At this juncture, you're not going to find a publisher for your book. I'm just going to tell you flat out, it's not going to happen. So don't even try. Don't waste your time. You don't have an audience. The publishers need to know that they're going to cover their initial costs by through you, the audience you already have buying your book. If you don't have an audience, they're not going to want you. You're definitely going to be self-publishing. That's fine. This is a place where it's good to have the glorified business card. Ideally, it's even better than that. It's a gorgeously written, very useful and helpful book that gets handed from person to person. But the gist of this stage 2 is that you're using the book to workshop your wisdom into the offering that you're going to make. Usually people at stage 2 don't yet know quite what their offering is. They know that they want to be, let's say, a wealth coach, but they don't have a methodology. They don't have a lot of clients. They don't have workshops that are selling out. They haven't yet quite workshopped their thing yet. So what's cool about writing a book is it forces you to do that. You have to figure out what is step 1, because that goes in chapter 1, and what's step 2, that's in chapter 2. So it's a useful exercise on a number of levels to actually write a book at that stage. Then you can use the book to get on podcasts or to get on local radio or to just have an event to draw people's attention on social media, because people are more inclined to do something if it's like, oh, this is happening right now. The book just published. People are more inclined to buy it than just like, oh, yeah, 6 months ago, this person had a book out, you know, or maybe they didn't even tell me their book had come out and now they're talking about it. Well, it's old news. It's weird how our brains work, but it's nice to have an event and that book gives you that event. Then we move on to stage 3. At this point, you know what your offering is. It's already been workshopped and you're ready for it to gain greater adoption. So at this point, you're using this to really grow your platform. We call it your author platform. It's the number of people that know who you are, love what you do, respect you as an expert, and are ready and waiting to buy your book. So at this point, you might already have enough of a following that a small publisher might be interested in you. You might have a podcast. You might have a really nice YouTube channel by this point. You've got a blog. You're sending out a newsletter every week. There's a lot going on. You've already started the process of building this platform and you're wanting to go beyond the one that you have. The book again becomes an excuse to do outreach, to write blogs for other websites, to really get the word out in a bigger way. That, and I said, at that point, you might find a smaller publisher who's interested in you, but you're still probably going to self-publish is the truth. Then we get to stage 4. That is where you have a well-established offering. Lots of people know who you are. People who've never met you before have heard of you. They're all interested in you. You've got a nice big social media following. Most importantly to publishers, you have a robust email list. I'm talking 100,000 names or above. They really want to know that at least 10,000 copies are going to sell in that first year minimum. And usually you can say if you've got a really tailored list of 100,000 people, no more than 10,000 are likely to buy it. honestly. So it's usually about a 10%. You know, that's 10% is looking good. If you get 10%, you're doing great. So they want at least 100,000 names on that list. You've done that. Stage three is where you were building that list. And now it's stage four. You're ready for your name to be a household name. And that's where you start outreach to literary agents, start reaching out to publishers, and you get a traditional publisher behind you. Getting a traditional publisher behind you, I will say, is usually these days, not even what you think it's going to be. It's great that they pay for the editing, they pay for the cover design, they pay for printing, but you are still responsible for selling every single copy. So your marketing efforts need to actually go up, not down, when you get a traditional publisher. And that's something that a lot of authors I talk to don't really realize.
So then what is the benefit of getting a traditional publisher these days?
Right. Well, there's a couple. I mean, one is that it does lend credibility and legitimacy. So anyone can self-publish, but if you are if you're chosen by a publisher, that means they really deeply believe in you. There's also the benefit that they pay advances, so you get some money up front. So you deliver a book proposal, they pay you in advance, and theoretically that pays for you to sit down and write it for 6 months. So that's nice, right? And then again, you don't have those upfront costs. When someone is planning to self-publish and they want their book to be as good as a traditionally published book, we recommend, we have to see their writing, but we recommend either getting it ghostwritten by a professional publisher, even if they think that they're a decent writer, and or if they are going to write it themselves, to commit the same resources that a publisher would commit to editing it, which means 6 rounds of editing. And that's at least 2 rounds of what's called developmental editing. So that's content editing, that's developmental and line editing, then a round of copy editing, and then 3 rounds of proofreading once the book is set into type. That is what every traditional publisher gives a book. I don't want you to have any less if you expect your book to do really well. So it's an investment. Plus, you need to get a professional cover designed by someone who designs covers for a living, please. You know, not your daughter who just graduated with a graphic arts degree. You know, I want it to be as professional as what's coming out of the publishing companies.
I really love your commitment to the excellence, like you described as well. Even if you're, even if you are self-publishing, go at it with that same type of commitment, and like you said, what would be required by the traditional publisher. So might as well treat it that way.
Yeah.
So how important is the editing piece? Very important, clearly, because you're saying 6 rounds.
Yes.
But what I mean, not just editing itself, but the editor. So
yes.
How do you find an editor? How much would an editor cost normally? Where does that fit into the overall book writing process?
Yes. So obviously, I think an editor is extremely important. I am one. That's been my whole career. I love to quote Stephen King, who has a wonderful book called On Writing, and he says, "To write is human, to edit is divine." And I totally agree with that. I suggest starting to work with an editor as soon as you can, meaning even before you write the book, to get your hook dialed in. I do book consultations with authors all the time. I just had one yesterday where they came to me with what they thought was the right hook for their book. And I took one look at it and realized that there was no way it was going to stand out from the crowd. There's too much out there. We needed to make it more narrowly tailored. We needed to make sure that it really had that oomph, that sort of magnetism that was going to drive sales. And so we worked it out on the call and they left feeling great about their new idea. And so that's one way you could do it. Just do a consultation with an editor to figure out. These are people, theoretically, and I would hope that you would make sure this is true, who have devoted their careers to books. They know way more than you do. And this is the thing, like, there's so much we don't know that we don't know when it comes to a business like writing and editing. And I find that people think they should know how a book should fit together because they used to write in high school. Well, yeah, I've written essays before. Doesn't everyone know how to write? And I always say, well, I could put some like paint on a canvas, but it's not going to look like Rembrandt. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a painter. I know how paint works, but I don't know how to paint something gorgeous. And it's the same with a book. So be sure to work with someone on your outline. Just run your outline for your book by an editor who understands outlines. That structure, that form of that outline will carry you through the writing process and will mean that you don't have to take the book apart and put it back together in the editorial rounds, right? So I always say, like, an ounce of preparation is worth a pound of editing. So have these calls, get someone to work with you early on, and then you won't have to have a complete overhaul when it comes to the editorial stage. So where do you find an editor? Well, of course, I have a company, KN Literary Arts. I love it. It's my initials and what I do. And there are many other places you can find editors. So you can go to Google and just Google book editor in your hometown and you'll find people. You can go to a place that's called Upwork.com. It's a website where people are, you know, freelancers. If you don't go through an editorial studio, I would recommend highly that you do your research on the person that you decide to work with. Make sure they give you a list of the books that they've published or that their authors have published, and go look at them and make sure they feel good to you and ask for references. If you don't have someone who's sort of being the referee between you and your editor, I've just heard so many horror stories of people who pay their editor $15,000 up front. The editing doesn't work. The editor keeps the money and they're out $15,000 and didn't get what they wanted. So make sure you know that you have recourse and that you've got good referrals for the editor. It's like anybody that you would be hiring for, you know, freelance. It's nice to get somebody, maybe a friend of yours has written a book and loved their editor, talk to them, work with that person. Just make sure you have some way of feeling like, yes, this person is going to do me right. And make sure that they edit books for a living. That is really my baseline goal. Like, I want them to do this for a living. I don't want them to be doing this sort of on the side while they do their other thing. There are so many editors out there. This is what they do. This is what they love. They know how the business works. They know how to help you create a saleable book. Work with one of them.
That's great advice. And so let's swing this back a little bit around, you know, my listenership is a lot, like I've mentioned, how to make more money or how to become better with money or how to build wealth. I mean, I'm in the money category, and that's the message I, you know, really try to bring to listenership, is the idea of how to make money easier or different revenue streams or just different ways to build the business through our business, entrepreneurship, that type of thing.
Yep.
So when it comes to, let's say, a small business owner, an entrepreneur, where do you see, and I think I already know the answer to this, you've more or less said it, but just more, it's a question asked a different way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the idea of, okay, if I'm a small business owner / entrepreneur, and, you know, maybe it's not about an audience necessarily, but it's a product or service that I have, and I have the idea of writing a book about my product or service or something that will facilitate maybe more sales. How do you fit the book in there? I mean, do you really, again, recommend that a book can be, because like we've talked about, writing a book doesn't make money. I mean, my $2.40 I make per book isn't going to make me rich, right?
Exactly.
The little royalties.
Exactly. Right.
But where does it fit, again, as far as additional revenue stream, either for the entrepreneur business owner and or somebody that maybe is a writer or could be an editor or something of that category where they maybe could hang out a shingle to fit this book writing and editing thing into making more money.
Right, of course. So I would say that it goes back to what I was talking about earlier in terms of getting more people to know you, to experience you as an expert. People think that if you've written a book, you must be superhuman. Most people really can't imagine sitting down and writing an entire book. And they might not know that you're working with a ghostwriter, and that's fine, honestly. Your ideas and your voice are still throughout that book. It's not the ghostwriter's book, it's yours. They just sat down and put in what I like to quote Anne Lamott, who's a wonderful writer, calls butt in chair time, right? So that's all you're hiring out, is the butt in chair time. You're not hiring out the ideas. So it's fine. But people will look at you and say, wow, this person really must know what they're talking about. And they also must be really devoted to this thing. Everybody these days is like, oh yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to kind of do this. And they're like just testing the waters. If you've written a whole book about what it is that you do, that just names how committed you are to it. And so that commitment is felt by the potential buyers. And again, I want you to have a high price point item of some sort behind it. So, you know, in your book, maybe you walk people through a step-by-step process for finding a relationship, let's say, but then you also offer one-on-one coaching at a much higher price point. And so people read the book, they love your ideas, but they just don't fit in the exercises into their daily lives. They know they need like that coaching experience. They come to you for that. So in that way, the book is kind of like a loss leader, right? It goes out to bring people in. But it also fits into your marketing funnel. So I imagine you probably talk about this, that you need to warm your audience up over the course of time. Most people need 7 to 10 touches by you before they're going to buy something that feels expensive to them. So the book is a great maybe step 2 or 3 in the funnel. You're giving away free content through your newsletter, through social media. Then maybe you have a really, really low investment item on your website, like a video or something like that. And then you have your $25 book. And it just fits in really well. It's also a really nice way if you are somebody who's a heart-centered entrepreneur and wants to make sure that people really have access to what you offer, even if they can't afford one-on-one services. I feel great about the fact that if somebody can't afford services with KN Literary, I can say, buy my book. Really, everything you need is in that book. Now, some people will be able to take that book and make it in, and do everything in it and turn it into a book. Most people will need help, and that's why they come back to the company behind it.
That's perfectly said. And then what about ebooks or some things like download my ebook for free type thing on a website? Where does that fit in?
Yes. So, it's a funny thing being a book person where we are just, I think, one of the entries into the business, you have to be a bit of a snob. So basically I think ebook and I'm like, the kind of downloadable book, really a book. That's where I come. I'm like, don't tell me this is a book. And I open it up and it has 5,000 words in it. A book is minimum 40,000 words. Just set that in your head. 40,000 words is the absolute minimum that's going to feel like a book. Anything else, it's fine for you to call it an ebook. I don't mind. In fact, we're doing a download on my website right now that we're calling an ebook and it's barely a book, right? But it's a really good way, again, to warm up that funnel. You're giving them content, something that's useful to them. Great. That's awesome. I love it. It's perfect in that way. When it comes to actually writing your 40,000 plus book, I want you to have it available as an ebook, but I also want to make sure it's available as a paper book. And there's a couple reasons for that. The ebook is a way that a lot of people will test drive a book, decide whether they really want to need it, and then they will actually purchase the book again as a paper book. So that's a really great thing to have as an entry point, even to buying your book. Set the price point very low, $2.99 for the ebook, and then $19, $20, $21 for the book, people will come back and buy the book. Once it's in the real world as a paper book, it's more likely to be handed off to friends. So that's something that's also really good about having an item versus something that's just in your book. Most of the time, we find that especially in nonfiction, people will, if they love the book, they will want a paper copy of it and they'll go back and buy it. So they have it to give to someone or to pick up again off their shelf.
I love it. Thank you. You're inspiring me now to actually get to book two. So thank you. And I would put myself in stage 3. So
I really
love how you broke up the stages here. That's really helpful. Just say, good. What stage am I in?
Right.
And then, work accordingly. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So I like to close out all of my podcasts with a little bit of myth busting. So when it comes to the book business, I'm guessing there's a lot of myths out there that people believe. So would you do a little myth busting when it comes to this category?
Sure, absolutely. So one of the big myths, as I said before, is that if you find a traditional publisher, you can kick back, put your feet up, and that's all you've got to do. That is not true. As you said, you sort of said this between the lines, but writing a book is about 20% of the work. Marketing it is about 80% of the work. So that is a huge part. There's no point in writing a book. If your intention is to sell a lot of copies, you're not going to do it without actually putting the effort into the marketing. If again, you're writing for your heart or your art and you just want to have a copy of the book to give to your grandchildren, no problem. You don't have to do any marketing. That's fine. I still recommend getting editing because it makes it more readable. If you want anyone to read your book, please, 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 please have it edited. I'll just leave it there. Other myths are, there's so many of them that again, everybody who's got their name on the cover of the book is the only person who wrote the book. That is absolutely not the case. I dropped a bomb in a retreat I was teaching earlier this year that I would put, bet everything I have that Michelle Obama did not sit down and write her entire book. And the room just went to tears, I got to tell you. But the fact is that people who are busy entrepreneurs or politicians or celebrities, they don't have time to sit down and write a book. It takes a lot of time. So most of them are getting that book written for them. And that is a place where I could recommend your entrepreneurs look into, because it's not something that if you've been putting it off and you know you want one, you might want to hire somebody who writes for a living to do it for you.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, perfect. Well, thank you so much. And again, anybody listening, this is really for anyone that is thinking of writing a book and needs to get the inspiration and the know-how in order to go ahead and move forward. And like you said, there's something to having your book out there in the world. And I don't even know how to explain it, but it is a piece of art or something that started with nothing and then it's something and it's just this physical thing out there. So I really encourage anyone, like we all have a book in us too. I think everybody has their story. We all have our genius. We all have something to share. And if we can break that down and put it in a book format and offer it out to the world, I don't know. There's something to that. So do you feel that same thing, that there's just something different about having this physical thing called a book that's a little bit of your creation that's out there somewhere?
Yes. Totally. It's funny. I've been saying this. People ask, well, what's the biggest surprise for you after 20 years in the book business now that you have your own book out? And I'm like, how great it is, how cool it is to be able to hand it to people. I didn't even realize how much I was going to enjoy that. It is really a wonderful thing. And it is. It's sort of your intelligence, your story, your experience made manifest in this way. As I was writing it, this is my PhD of the last 20 years I spent in the book business. And there's just something about that is precious. And I would want it for anybody.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for your time. And we'll make sure we put in the show notes where to find you. And thank you. You're lovely. And it's been really fun meeting you. And thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here. Grateful.
If you're inspired by today's show and you would like to learn more about My Money Coaching, here's what I need you to do. Head over to christina.com/call. That's KRISSTINA.com/call. And book an appointment to speak with me. In less than 30 minutes, we will get absolutely clear on why you're not earning enough no matter how hard you work, why you can never get ahead no matter how much you earn, and what you need to know in order to finally have the time and money freedom you're working so hard for. Remember, you're not alone. 95% of Americans are one life event away from financial crisis. I will be the first person to teach you why this is the case and how to be in the other 5% that has no fear around money. No one can do this alone. You need expert help. I've helped everyone from modest earning professionals to those earning 8 figures per year get off the financial hamster wheel and finally win the money game. I look forward to helping you too. Head over to christina.com/call and book your call with me today. I'm Christina Wise. Thank you for spending your valuable attention with me today. We will meet again soon.